There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. 107 FM Talk 106.5 in Midday Mobile. Hour number two on this Wednesday. Like I always say, this is now the downward slide to the weekend, right? We're almost there. The second hour of the show. Think positively with me. By the way, too, yes, we have been inundated on the text line with people that are not happy about what was said in that presser. Listen, all I'm doing is carrying on the message from the LDOT folks at that event they had last night in Foley, saying a couple things. Number one, the project I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway extension, raising, replacing, all that stuff together, $2 billion, $2 billion, and 2025 for completion. And then people commenting on the tolling that could be from $3 to $6. So I don't know. And if somebody has sent, maybe they've sent me some links here, Dalton. I can't. If you can look through those on the text line, I'd ask the question too. So Ben says apparently they would have to reconstruct the bridge to be able to toll it. Okay. That's what I'm trying to get an idea here from somebody in the know, because the suggestion was, well, if they toll the I-10 Mobile River Bridge, then they will toll the other ways to get across the bay to force people to pay the toll. Yeah, I don't know that that's possible. That's all I was saying is I don't know. And once again, not saying I'm an expert on this, but just seems somewhere in my brain this file keeps coming up that says once a roadway is built, it's not tolled to go in and retroactively. You can't go in and retroactively toll unless there's some, you know, you put some improvement or something on it, I think. But maybe we can get the ag. I see some links here, Dalton. So if you read through one of those, maybe that's the exact text of that. All right. Our buddy Jeff Poor, he joined us this morning, and I've plied him to come back on with us again because there's so much to talk about. Jeff, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Wait, do you have any idea there that question? Like if a road is not tolled, you know, and the road has been used and all that, can you go back in and toll a road again?
No, I do think there has to be some kind of improvement to it to do that.
Okay, so that's where I'm saying I'm waiting for the actual, you know, the letter of the law, but I think I agree with you on that. I want to get into a couple things as we started talking about this morning. Of course, the story that has most of cable news talking, some cable news outlets more than others, and that, of course, is the president and they call it the tape, the recording here, that Cohen has rolling with the president, then candidate Trump, talking with his attorney, his longtime attorney Cohen, about buying the rights to a story, right? I mean, at first blush, that's what it is, but you can argue that it's a way to keep something from hitting the news.
Yeah, it's done to do, I mean, I guess it's done regularly, or at least on a somewhat regular basis in the world of tabloid journalism. But, you know, I think it's, as you coined the term this morning, just kind of legalized blackmail.
Yeah, I mean, and if y'all didn't catch it, what we were talking about earlier is, you know, to me, blackmail would be, hey, I've got some really, you know, bad stuff on you, and if you don't pay me, you know, the money, I'm going to release it. That's illegal. We all know that's blackmail. But the, hey, I bought rights to a story that is not really good for your reputation, but you have the rights to buy that story from me and the option not to run it. I mean, it seems like you're accomplishing the same thing, and money's trading hands. It just seems like maybe a letter of the law legal way to do it, but it does seems icky, man.
It does seem icky, but I suppose if somebody wanted to pursue it, they could pursue it as blackmail. But you would have a legal fight on one hand, and then you would also have the damaging information out there, and then it could drag through the mud. You could have a discovery process. So I'm not sure, you know, like, maybe it's just better just to pay to make it go away in some cases.
Well, and, you know, the president tweeting today, you know, what kind of lawyer would tape a client so sad? Is this a first? Never heard of it before. President said, why was the tape so abruptly terminated? Well, I was presumably saying positive things. I hear there are other clients and many reporters that are taped. Can this be so? Too bad. So, I mean, at this point, he's really arguing semantics versus the substance of this, right? I mean, he didn't come out and deny this. It's just the whys of how this information got out.
Yeah, and it makes him a victim. Anytime that happens, I think, with his base at least, he kind of validates that the media's out to get him. He's never going to get a fair shake, no matter what. And it plays into that narrative. And that, you know, that just, I don't see how that hurts him. I don't see how any of this separates him from his supporters. If you didn't like Trump before, you probably still don't like Trump. If you didn't like Trump for that reason, for the reason that he has this reputation of being a billionaire playboy that's committed adultery or whatever, you if that was your reason for not liking him before, you, this doesn't change that. So to me, it just kind of feels this fire. It feels this narrative, and everyone just is still stuck where they were before, you know, this time yesterday.
No, okay, so this goes back, though, we can say this, coming into the, we're 2016, coming into this, into the general election, people knew, heck, in the primary, people knew the reputation of Donald Trump, the candidate. Then you have, you know, the nominee, you have the big Billy Bush tape thing, and every time one of these stories would come up, it would be, at least according to the mainstream media, this would be it. This would be the final, this would be the undoing. This would be the straw on the camel's back, right? And each time, they were wrong.
Each time they were wrong, and I always thought, you know, the one-sidedness, the asymmetrical coverage from the media, I mean, this has been the case all along, right? At what point do people just start tuning it out? And I think that we crossed that point, like, years ago. You just tune out all the negative Trump stories because they've gone so hard for so long, it becomes background noise. So when something like this happens and you think you finally got him, you may have him under any other circumstance, but you've been going at this high volume for so long that I think it, you know, he's built up enough immunity to all of this, and it just isn't as effective as it would have been.
Do you think those out the Never Trumpers or people out the Democrats here to get him are a victim of their own messaging before now? I mean, the fact that you said it sounds like there's a bit of a callous build up, and maybe if this story came out without that callous there, it would have had maybe some traction.
Yeah, I think even if it were like a George W. Bush, as badly as he was beaten up during the 2000s, I think something like this would have hurt him even more. You know, even with all the questions about the 2000 election, and then as we got along in his term with the invasion of Iraq and things like that, I think something like this would have been much more damaging to him. But we've been going at this pace, this speed, since the 2015, the beginning of the cycle, you know, 6 months before the Iowa caucuses, and it's protests in the streets, it's trying to find something Trump says that will be his undoing. I think it started with the John McCain, is it a real war hero thing? And that was going to be his undoing. How many times have we seen this play before, and how many times does it always have the same ending? So my question is, I think the threshold's so high right now, it's going to take something beyond just him trying to pay off one of his mistresses to undo him.
Well, we come back from the break. I want to get more into that because your story over at Yellowhammer News goes into what the Washington Post, Stephanie Crumman, was talking about here. With they couldn't figure out, they still can't figure out why it's not the undoing of Trump. So they went to Luverne here in Alabama and did a story in their Sunday edition about evangelicals, Christians in Alabama, and their response to President Trump. We'll get Jeff's take on this. Plus, you can read along over at yellowhammernews.com. When we come back, more of Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
120 FM Talk 1065. Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Phone number 343-0106. 343-0106. Also check us out over at facebook.com/FM Talk 1065. On Twitter at FM Talk 1065. Also search for us on Instagram. You can go to the website, get the podcast and the live stream and all that kind of good stuff at fmtalk1065.com. You can also check out my buddy Jeff Poore. You check him out through Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News. Also, they can just go directly to the outlet, right? The Jeff Poore outlet there on Twitter.
Yeah, it's twitter.com/Jeff_Poore.
I mean, there's retail locations, but your Twitter, that's the outlet. If you want to, you know, shop outlet style like I do, you just go right there.
Yeah, that's the... that's the one-stop shop.
And one of the stories there that has a lot of people talking is your analysis. I think this is good. This is exactly what we're talking about here, y'all, and this is why you need to read through this story. Your analysis of the Washington Post. So the Washington Post, Stephanie McCrumman, does this investigation into those people down there, right? Those people in Alabama and what they think of President Trump. And what do people in churches think of President Trump?
Well, she's been in Alabama for a while, apparently. She was one of the Washington Post reporters that they gave the Pulitzer Prize to for the Roy Moore stuff back in 2017 with the underage females and those allegations. So she knows the territory. She knows the turf. I guess like me, she never left after the 2017 cycle and kind of stuck around Alabama looking for interesting stories.
Okay. Well, so the idea of this story that was published in the Washington Post, this Judgment Day story, a headline here, in a small Alabama town, an evangelical congregation reckons with God, President Trump, and the meaning of morality. And if you look through social media, that has been a lot of this, the questioning on Twitter and all that is, how can Christians still side with Trump in places like Alabama and elsewhere when you have these stories out about extramarital affairs or things that would be contrary to folks that call themselves Christians?
Yeah, and that's been the enigma for a lot of the mainstream media types, the Morning Joes and the CNNs and these people. They look at this and, even I who don't, I don't necessarily go to church, but I know what the Ten Commandments say, and they say, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And does this mean that they're hypocrites? These Trump supporters that won't sway away from Trump, and they just don't get it. They don't understand the connection between Trump and his supporters, and Trump, more specifically, they don't understand the connection between Trump and evangelical Christian voters. They see it as, brainwashed by Fox News or Rush Limbaugh or whatever. They have a bunch of theories that these people just can't think for themselves, and that, they're being fooled, and this warrants more and more investigation.
Well, okay, so she goes to Luverne, and she's with this, the First Baptist Church there, and kind of trying to figure out the answers to those questions. This is something you have addressed, by the way, too, before on the show. This is not brand new. You've talked about it, and if they would listen to you, you can tell those folks why it doesn't seem to matter, right?
Well, basically, my theory is it never was about Trump's morality. After 8 years of Obama, after 8 years of, instituting a health care legislation that requires things like birth control offered at the workplace or just things that seem to violate people's practice of their religion, Trump comes along, and while he's not perfect, he tells them, I'm not going to do things that interfere with your religion. I'm going to defend your right to practice your religion. You may disagree with the way I've lived my life, but you could disagree with that, but I'm not going to impose morality on you. I'm not going to impose the merits of same-sex marriage or transgender bathrooms and all these little niche issues that get so much media attention. And I think people look at that, and it's a break from what we were doing under the Obama administration that drew them to Trump. And that's what these mainstream media types, Stephanie McCrumman included, I don't think they get it. I think they look at something different, that they're not following the letter of the law, of the Bible, and they don't first of all, they don't get the idea of Christianity, God's grace, and forgiveness and all this. They look at the Bible as a text that you either follow or people will disavow you. That may be true in certain places, especially for certain individuals. I'm not saying that these people, the way they view Trump is all right, but I do think it requires a certain understanding to know why people follow Trump and have such a loyalty to him, and not just try to paint it with one brush and assume that this is just the greatest enigma of our time.
So, but I mean, the people that would say, okay, listen, this is a person, and well thought out, that this person is pragmatically their best choice, right, for defending what they find important in life. Let's play the game then. Let's say there's another person that has, for some reason, it's 2020, and there's a Republican challenger that has the ability to do what Donald Trump has done, but is cleaner, squeakier, maybe less in the past. Do you think the tides would turn against Trump, or is that cult of personality so strong, with what has been built since election, do you think they would stick with him?
Well, we had 17 others try it, and you're telling me out of those 17,
right,
I guess 16 others, not one of them lived up to the standard of Donald Trump?
Yeah,
I think we've already had the answer to that question.
So it's
I don't think that person exists, at least not somebody that's willing to run into the Republican Party in 2020. I think if you were to consider that as an option, it's going to be hard to unseat an incumbent president to begin with. But let's assume that mythical candidate came along. Who is it? Would you have a name for this mythical candidate?
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying, I wonder what, as the opinion goes, and I wonder, kind of what side of the seesaw is heavier, which is more important. Like, if they had a, because I think I have that question answered, you could have somebody that is, passes the litmus test of evangelical purity, but it's not effective in their administration of the executive branch, versus somebody that they would say fails that litmus test but is effective, right? I mean, you're saying that they don't really care about this indiscretion because what he's doing is being effective for their rights, right, or their sense therein.
Right. The problem with finding that candidate that would check all those boxes, I think you run into a problem with the personality. You can't have a Trump-like personality. A lot of this is style over substance.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a Trump-like personality that's a squeaky, lily-white,
right,
here is a driven snow type that's going to be as effective as Trump is. So I think that's one problem with it. But Trump is just what the doctor ordered, and for a lot of people, he's the guy that's kind of, he's definitely playing the populist card, but he's played it for the forgotten man. I think Reagan did this, and I think Trump has done this, and it has nothing to do with their ideologies. I just think that when people look at it and they look at the, who's going to look out for me, that Donald Trump is that guy right now.
If you're just joining us, talking to Jeff Poor with Lanyap and Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, this story up over at Yellowhammer News. So, as we talked about this morning, this is what, the latest flash in the pan, and by what, this time in 1 week or 2 weeks, are we talking about this story in the recording?
No, I think there'll be another recording, or there'll be something else that people will shrug off. There's always going to be something else. There's always going to be the next thing. Trump's going to do something, and the same people are going to be as outraged as they always are. And we're just going to go through this sort of process over and over and over again. And does it mean anything? When does it start hurting Trump? I'm not saying it's all good, but I wonder. I think we're kind of seeing the law of diminishing returns play out.
Although he did have his Hall of Fame, Hollywood Walk of Fame star destroyed again. So, who knows what that means.
Right, and does the person that destroyed the Hollywood Walk of Fame star really think that they're like getting a win there for America?
I don't know.
What is the goal there? I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture the person, and I just don't have that kind of angst against anybody. But person that I politically had that many problems with, I still wouldn't be motivated to go get their Hollywood Walk of Fame star. Just seems strange, but oh well, strange days. All right, remind folks, Twitter, and if they want to get more of what you're writing, where all do you go?
It's obviously go to landyap.com, new or landyapmobile.com, my bad. A new column out today. There's Breitbart TV, and there is yellowhammernews.com.
All right, and you'll be hearing his voice come Monday, hosting Midday Mobile. So start resting up, man.
Yeah, I'll need it. My second rodeo.
That's for sure. That's Jeff Poore, and we're coming right back right here on FM Talk 106.5, online, fmtalk1065.com. Oh, by the way, national story here, Southern California home sales crash. What does that all mean? Well, we'll get to it.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
And tweet. Okay. 137 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. I'm sorry, I had to get that important response back out there. If somebody was that's blasphemy, calling Nico Wafers gosh awful candy. Cliff, come on, man. That person on Twitter. The Nico, at the beginning of the show, we had a story that they were closing down unexpectedly, even though I don't know, the company that makes Nico Wafers and Sweet Tarts. Sold out of bankruptcy court, picked up by a new company. New company may be selling it to somebody else. They're shutting down the factory there in Revere, Massachusetts. And I was just commenting on the fact that I wish I didn't. I wish I didn't. But I have a taste for, you know, occasionally the Nico wafers. Between the candy flavor and the fact that it leaves that kind of powdered packing dust, whatever it is, you know, like candy sawdust all over your fingers. And if you're wearing a shirt that's anything but like white, it shows up. Yeah, that stuff. If they go away, that's going to be. I'm just pointing out that you have to have a refined palate like I do to enjoy the spunky melange of flavors in the Nico wafers. All right. We got some text coming in at 343-0106. Also, you can hop on the phone line, same phone number, and we'll react a little bit to what Jeff was just saying there. And you can read through his whole story over at Yellowhammer News. So I love texts like this when it's a question like I got to answer because I said something. This texter says, so we non-Christians don't forgive. Is that what ABC, MSNBC says? I got no idea, man. Got to ask somebody else. This texter said, I absolutely hated Donald Trump until he ran for president and showed that he was there to represent my interest. I'm very happy with his performance and certainly could care less. Actually, you always couldn't care less about his personal indiscretions or sins before he became president. I find it entertaining how he drives the extreme left-wing nutcases up a tree. And yes, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I would say that the better, just strategically, it'd be better to have all the things known before somebody was elected, you know, so there's no chance of blackmail, right? Which back to the thing, y'all get what I was asking this morning and Jeff and I just talked about? Doesn't it seem like what's described? And once again, I'm not making Donald Trump a victim here, but he's a player in that deal. It's not like the woe is me. I'm sorry. I don't jump on that wagon. But to me, it sounds like with this David Pecker, they're from AMI, the company that owns National Enquirer. What he was either one of two things. Either he was being paid for services rendered. In other words, he grabbed the story, got it off the got it off the map to where it could have gone to the to the press in general, even though he's the press, but he took it, he put it on ice. Either he did that and he was going to be compensated for it, or he was hunting down stories to be able to then sell them to people that are implicated in the stories. But either way, it's essentially. And people say, well, he's a friend of Trump. Okay, well, if he's a friend of Trump, then there's a question, a whole other series of questions. But if he was not, he was just doing it to make money. Isn't it darn close to blackmail? And once again, this is not, there's no woe is me, poor Donald Trump in this situation, because sounds like a situation of its own making. And sound like they were all grown-ups and making deals and all that kind of stuff. But it does, it interests me that it does, the formula is the same as blackmail. Material damning to somebody, money exchange for that material not to come out, right? I mean, is that not... But in this case, because they say this, they had the story, they paid for the rights to the story, right? So they paid the woman involved here the rights to her story, McDougal, rights to her story. And so they paid the $150 or whatever they paid originally. I don't know if they marked it up for Trump or not. But they paid the sum of money to her to secure the rights, right? Like, you got get a book, you got an idea, something happened to you in life, somebody wants to make a movie about it, whatever, they get the rights to it. So they secure the rights to this story. Now, the guy at National Enquirer, Pecker, he's got the story. He's got the story. He then, at least in what we're hearing in the audio and what's being described as a narrative, is they're trying to figure out to set up this company, right? You heard Cohen say set up the company to make the payment. And, you know, everybody's obsessed with cash or check. I did not hear debit or credit in there at all, which I was surprised on. But to pay the $150,000 for the rights. So, in other words, they would sell Donald Trump. They would sell him the rights to the story. And, of course, you own the rights to the story. Nobody else can do the story, and therefore it gets round filed, right? It gets put away. But that is formulaic, while semantically maybe within the law, because you're buying rights for a story. But if you're paying money to another party for the rights to a story that would defame you, to keep it out of the news, I mean, there's so much to me like blackmail. It's like they put some lipstick on it, right, and a wig and everything, but it's still. Sure, it sounds like blackmail to me. And once again, don't worry. This is not those who will hop on the... I'm not saying this as in like, oh, poor Donald J. Trump back then. He put himself in that situation. But that situation is a whole lot like blackmail. Let's go to the phones. Carl in Orange Beach up next. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
Doing good, man. So what's up?
I was asked a question about Trump being an ungodly, scriptural Christian here recently. I'm a real estate agent, and I was out doing some waterfront, and this guy comes up and says he has a 142 IQ, et cetera, et cetera. And he's a liberal, and he says to me, how can you in good conscience vote for Trump? And, just tongue-in-cheek, I said, well, how could you in good conscience vote for Hillary? But if you want, a scriptural, theological answer, I can tell you that God has always historically used ungodly leaders to either chastise or bless, nations. So, I don't think Christians should be put into a position where they have to defend the everyday life of Donald Trump. But we do know that God can use these people regardless, even if they're ungodly and don't believe in Christianity. Nebuchadnezzar would be probably the best example. You find the Old Testament where Nebuchadnezzar is blessing the God of Israel and blessing the people of Israel while they're in exile.
So and the idea, I mean, I get what you're saying a little bit, but the idea is, and this is interesting, that the same way Stephanie McCrummon went down to Luverne and or up for us, but for her down to Luverne to talk to the people at that church there, that interesting. I don't know what responsibility. I think this is, Carl, this is a great question on every vote. Let's go from, your local city or county representative, right, to the Oval Office. Are you responsible? This is fascinating. I think you opened up a bigger thing. Are you responsible for the behavior of that person? Are you somehow implicit in that? And is it a bigger deal if you knew about it beforehand or afterwards, if you voted now you haven't changed your mind? I mean, what responsibility, and this is not rhetorical. I want to hear from you. What responsibility do you have? You're suggesting that in this case it's not on the people that voted for Trump, or is it on everybody's? I mean, because if you said a flawed person, you could say the same thing for Hillary. I don't think there was a one of them in the primaries on either side that was, I know there's very few perfect people.
What I would say is, it's going to be very difficult to prove a person's scriptural Christianity. In other words, their depth and experience and their walk with God is going to be very hard to prove, but do they stand for Christian principles and do they have a record of supporting Christian principles, protecting Israel, abortion, whatever, pro-life, whatever it might be. But it's very hard. I mean, Dabo Swinney the other day, you know, was quoting Jeremiah and said, you know, I know the plans that God has for you to give you a future and a hope. Well, and he said that was his life verse, and I was like, well, everybody knows that, or not everybody knows, but if you're a student of the Bible, you should know that that doesn't have anything to do with, you know, individual Christians. It has everything to do with the nation of Israel, and it shouldn't be quoted out of context, especially if it's your life verse. So what I'm trying to say is that, you know, a person can say all day long, you know, that they're a deep Christian, et cetera, but, you know, we don't really know, you know, their personal walk, et cetera, but we do know what they do, their actions.
But what about that, though?
And that's what's important to me.
Yeah, what about that, Carl? That's the interesting thing. Like, I phrased that question to Jeff earlier. If you had a situation, you go, okay, there's two candidates. I don't even care what party or whatever. There's two candidates out there, and mm-hmm. they're running for the same office, and mm-hmm. both of them espouse ideals that sit with you socially, Christian ideals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One is, at least publicly, let's say, because we don't know everything in their hearts, but publicly one is fairly close to looking lily white on these things, and another one looks like, well, they're a billionaire playboy. But you look mm-hmm. at it and go, one has a lot better chance of getting elected than the other one, or one has a better chance of getting these things done. Do you then go, well, that person over there is more like, at least publicly, more like me or more like the things I find important, but I don't think they can get the things done that the other person that's flawed can get done, even though they're the same ideas, you know? I mean, do you take one for the team?
You can get it done. I mean, that's what you do if you want, you know, the things you believe in to come to fruition. You vote for the one that can get it done, because I'm going to tell you, I mean, I've been on the inside of a lot of people that are around the Roy Moore camp and stuff like that, but you know, I get to know them personally, and they're some of the most self-righteous people I ever met in my life.
Yeah.
You know, they may not drink, cuss, or
if they can't get it done, if they can't get elected,
attitude, etc. is you know what I'm saying?
I do. Carl, appreciate the call. Thank you, man. We're going to run the break. Coming right back, more of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. Yeah, I mean, which one do you vote for? It's kind of interesting. Carl, thank you for that one. Interesting exercise there. What do you think?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 154, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. I want to say hello to my buddy Angelo over at Mobile Bay Coins. What's up, man?
Oh, another bright and sunny day today. Thank goodness. I was tired of all that rain.
Let's talk about what's happening for gift ideas. And also, I know we've talked about this many, many times, but I think it's worth repeating the new situation here in Alabama as of, just about 2 months ago, the change to the law when we go to buy precious metal.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to me, because I thought that as of June 1st, when the law went into effect, there's no sales tax anymore. I figured, you know, they'd be banging down the doors, getting all excited, and it's actually been a very slow build. A lot of people still don't know that if they come into Mobile Bay Coins, they do not have to pay sales tax anymore on gold and silver bullion, U.S. coins, or U.S. currency.
So if we're getting those things as investments, in the past, before this, y'all were having to charge sales tax for the state.
Correct, yeah, 10%, and that's a heck of a burden when you're trying to invest the money into gold or silver or maybe some older coins, and now you don't have to worry about that. And even if you're just coming in to buy an ounce of silver for fun or for a birthday gift, now you don't have to pay any of those sales taxes anymore. I mean, hey, save 10%, right?
Yeah, or buy more precious metal with that.
There you go. That is a good plan. As a matter of fact, somebody came in the other day and said they wanted to spend $1,000, and they got that extra 10% worth, and they were extremely excited.
Yeah, that's a big, big deal. Let's also look into, other than precious metal, absolutely a huge selection of gift ideas and very unique gift ideas at the shop.
Exactly. We have about 4,000 or 5,000 unique different pieces of jewelry here at the shop, everything from sterling silver rings all the way up to gorgeous diamond earrings and bracelets. We have thousands of different coins in inventory, as well as those Opinel knives that you and I love so much.
All right. Give us directions to come see you.
We're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590 or go onto Facebook and look up and follow Mobile Bay Coins there.
Hey, thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
All right, you too. 156 FM Talk 106.5. Dalton, yeah, we'll get an update here as there's some change here on the meeting part two between Putin and President Trump. But also, we're going to run out of time, but Dalton, did you see the Alex Jones news?
No.
You didn't see new Alex Jones news?
My Trump? Google alerts must be failing me.
We're going to beat your ass. You just get that through your stinking traitorous
Wait,
ass.
Wait, get him off the radio for a second. Yeah, so YouTube is saying they are going to remove him. Alex Jones's YouTube channel received a strike yesterday for violating the site's community guidelines. YouTube removed four videos from Alex Jones' channel, which has, get this, y'all, 2.4 million subscribers. Oof. That contained instances of hate speech and child endangerment, which I can say for... There's a lot of shows out there that are endangering to children.
There's some that are so annoying, they endanger the child watching them if the parent's in the background somewhere.
That's right, and they and endanger the parent as well. But yeah, so that's... No, you had actually some harder-hitting news than that.
Yeah, because there's been talk of a second meeting between Russian President
Yeah, this
Vladimir
fall sometime,
Putin.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's what they were talking about, even maybe having Putin come to Washington, mm-hmm. D.C. for that meeting. Well, John Bolton, National Security Advisor to the President, was speaking earlier today, and he says now that meeting will not occur until at least 2019. His exact words, the president believes that the next bilateral meeting with President Putin should take place after the Russia witch hunt is over, so we've agreed that it will be after the first of the year. That was in a statement that was distributed to the White House press pool earlier today.
Well, does that mean we know that the Mueller investigation, the probe, that's over by 19?
That's the first thing that I read into this. How does he, I guess he's assuming, or they're hoping,
right,
for best case scenario that this thing would be over by the end of the year.
Because I don't think those things, I don't think those investigations, they don't actually have an hourglass on them, right? They go on as long, I mean, I remember the Ken Starr investigation goes on as long as it goes on.
Yeah, as long as it takes. So did Bolton and the president's staff, do they know more about when this might be wrapped up? Or is that just the best-case scenario hoping from John Bolton?
There we go. We'll pick that up tomorrow. We'll be talking about it at 6 for Mobile Mornings. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com.